Welcome to the Technician to CEO podcast, where we uncover what it takes to build a successful service-based business. We bring you the experiences straight from those who have already lived it. Let's dive into the episode. Welcome back to Technician to CEO. Today we got an exciting episode for you. I'm joined by Tom Reber of The Contractor Fight. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the insight that he has on business. I think this guy's studio is outdoing mine, so it's time to upgrade the backdrop just a little bit. Tom, thanks for being on, man. This is awesome. We get to chat.
Thanks so much for having me. It's good to be here. I don't know. Your studio looks pretty dialed in, man. You got the professional looking mic. I just got a little cheap little headset, man. So, you know, it's all
It's
good.
All about the background.
It is.
So I have to confess, like I've done a bit of videography in businesses. It's funny, you do marketing for people and they don't know how to make content. So you end up making content for people. And so I've collected, there's a myriad of lights going on around here that you can't see.
Gotcha. So. Well, I got a couple lights here. And so this, where I'm at now, I'm in a corner of my basement we call Fight HQ. It's, I don't know, 1100 square feet or something like that. And
very cool.
We bring people down here to hang out when I do coaching days with them, and we shoot pool and talk business. So, and I try.
That
not,
sounds like fun.
I try not to lose. So you know.
Yeah, I like shooting pool and talking business, and I'm not sure if I could hustle anybody, but it'd be fun.
Awesome.
You know, I don't know if the audience will be familiar. So just tell us, just give us like kind of a brief synopsis. What is Contractor Fight? What are you doing?
Yeah, so Contractor Fight, the name, I'll just start with the name. It's the fights between our ears. It's the way we show up, the way we think, what we believe about ourselves, our value, those that baggage we carry around. And I have a bunch on that. But and we pretty much work with home improvement contractors all over the world. We've got the number one contractor podcast on the planet. The Contractor Fight, we got like coming up on, I don't know, I think we just recorded episode number 580, something like that. And we got a big YouTube channel. And so we do more free content in the world for contractors to get better. And those that want to move faster, they jump into one of our programs or they come to one of our events. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell, man, just to kind of keep it simple. But we're super proud of what we're doing. Our team is, you know, we have a great team of coaches and people that are all current contractors or have been contractors and sold their businesses and things like that. And we're here to help people get better.
Awesome. I want to be you when I grow up.
You be you, man. You be you.
So,
go ahead.
Why the home improvement industry?
Wow. For the long answer, people can go and get my book. It's free. Okay. So just get my book for free. And I share the long answer. It's thecontractorfight.com/book. Okay. So it just pays shipping and handling. But the quick answer is I grew up in a family of contractors and tradespeople. And I saw they were all tired, dirty, and broke. And I did everything in my life to not be in the contractor space. And then I got in the Marine Corps, ended up selling tools to carpenters out on job sites, ended up working for my uncle's a painting contractor. And one day I got this wild hair to start my own painting business. I did that. When I sold my half of it in 2012, I guess it was, we were doing 300-400 projects a year. And, you know, I didn't know what I was going to do. And somebody tapped me on the shoulder when I kind of got out of that. I just felt like something was next, you know, that season of my life. And I'm 52 now. And so I guess what was that make it? That would make me about 42 at the time. somebody asked me to speak at an event. With business owners and how to grow their businesses and market their company. And I did that. And it's funny, I avoided contractors like the plague because I was just tired of it. You know, I was just like, get me out of this industry for a while. And so I was speaking to groups of publishers and chiropractors and all these different types of business owners. People are tapping me on the shoulder to coach them and this and that. And then I did that for 4 or 5 years. And then at the end of 2016 or mid 2017, I started the Contractor Fight. I just couldn't get away from it because I've grown to just love the type of people that we are. You know, these are the type of people, men and women, that have amazing skills and talents and care for people and pride in what they do. And I just saw over and over and over, sadly, that most are stealing from their families. They're stealing time, money, memories, all those things, because they don't understand business. They don't know how to build their brands. They don't understand what's between their ears is the most important element of success. And quite honestly, you know, I guess selfishly, you know, I can help a personal trainer make a 5% improvement in his business, and it really doesn't move the needle, you know, yeah, if you just think about the math. But you start working with a home improvement contractor, there's a lot of zeros behind those little small percentage points, and it really changes lives at a massive level. I'm most proud of the messages that we get about how we've literally saved marriages, restored relationships with family members and business partners, and you know, people with depression and all these things, because I just think our unique approach is that we look at the business like, that's just business. It's just math and some branding and stuff like that. But let's get the head right about what do you really want? Where do you want to go? How do you want to show up each day and live your life? And so that's the fast story of why contractors. But I never saw a successful contractor growing up other than my uncle. All my friends had dads that were doctors, lawyers, things like that. I literally grew up on the other side of the tracks in Wheaton, Illinois. And, you know, it was just, I did everything I could to get away from it until I really embraced it. And I was like, man, the people here are amazing. So
I'm always interested when the conversation goes this way. You know, I grew up in a similar situation, in the fact that it was around contracting, you know. My dad sold home improvements when I was a young child. And then from the time I was probably 3 till in the last few years, built houses. And so I grew up in that world, yeah. You know, and spent my summers working it. I hated it. Oh, I hated it as a teenager. And, but I followed in his footsteps. And you know, by the time I was 20, I had my contractor's license. I thought I had it made. My dad was successful at being a contractor and was developing real estate. And man, like, I was off to the races. It was just going to be like trajectory like that. And then 2008 happened.
Yeah.
The music stopped playing. And we were way, way out. Leveraged.
Yeah.
And it got ugly. It got real ugly. So, but I think that's interesting. And I don't want to spoil the book. So, you know, you tell me if I ask too much, but I am interested in that.
Yeah.
You said you didn't have the examples of what a successful contracting business looked like. So when you went out and built your painting business, obviously, if you guys are doing 300-400 projects a year, you achieved a level of success. Where did that connect come?
Oh, and just so you know, if you hear dogs barking, I can't do anything about it. We got 4 dogs and they're a bunch of idiots. So
that's okay.
I just heard the doorbell ring, so I'm surprised they're not screaming right now. But, you know, the first several years of my business was typically this. We had high volume and nothing to show for it. Everyone was getting paid but me. And, you know, I never even thought about starting a business till I was like 30, 32 years old. You know, and I never knew I could. I literally rode the short bus when I was a kid. And my whole life I walked around with this mindset that I was stupid and couldn't compete intellectually. So there was no way I could start a business. That's for smart people. And, you know, the only reason I graduated high school was because I wanted to play football. That's the only thing that kept me eligible. And I think I literally, like a week before graduation, I had to cram for some government test I had to pass in order to graduate high school. So it was crazy. And, but you know, it was the typical rat race. You see so many contractors, you know, they know the trade, they're decent at the trade, they go out, and I had sold windows, I sold carpet for like 4 minutes, and I hated that. I didn't know what I wanted to do. All I knew was I wanted to have an impact. I was a high school football coach also, so I coached high school football for 17 years up until about two seasons ago. And then I resigned to kind of work on some bigger stuff here with the fight and that we have going on. And, you know, so for me, it was just this typical, you know, as long, I believed early on that as long as I had checks coming in that we were making money, you know, and that's not always the case, right? So, so it was a lot, you know, like the first, quote, I laugh because I say big job, but the first big job I did, I sold it for $28,000. I was all proud. It was in my first year of business. Problem was, it cost me $45,000 to do the job. So I got a, what's that, a $17,000 education of everything not to do. So a lot of the stuff that we talk about here in the fight is rooted in that experience, because some dude was GC in his own house. And it took a year, and I dragged this paint job that was supposed to be a few weeks, turned into literally a little over a year. I mean, the guy was psycho. He called me on Christmas morning to yell at me about a stain color on his staircase. And, you know, what's worse than a guy calling you on Christmas morning to yell at you is when you answer the phone on Christmas morning like an idiot. Yeah. So I had a lot of fear in me about, you know, we had millions of dollars running through the business and stuff, but we didn't have the profit. We didn't have the life that we wanted and things like that. And so we, you know, you mentioned the recession and things like that of 07, 08, 09. We literally overnight, our business was chopped in half, but we pulled our team together. We, at one point we had about 24, 26 painters in the field. At this time when the recession rolled around, and it was a little before the recession, we started waking up. I learned there's this thing called gross profit that you kind of need to care about. And we started implementing that. So we did, we shrunk and ended up with only about a core group of nine really great people that were painting for us. And we made three, four times the profit and money that we did when we had 20 something painters out there, and we weren't on the hamster wheel anymore. So I'm a less is more guy. You know, I've one of my business partners, and he has $1.5 million business, you know, but he just sold it for millions at the end of 2020. But he, you know, he was putting 600 grand a year in his pocket, you know, on a little $1.5 million business, 1.5 to 1.7.
Yeah.
You know, and so we're always looking for ways to just maximize our profit and efficiencies, because when you do that, you can offer better service. You can create a better environment for your team. You can have, you know, you can train your people and they want to stay because they have a career path, and all these things come together when you're profitable. And so many contractors, and I was one of them, I used to be like, well, I just want to be fair to my customers.
Yeah.
You know, it ain't fair to them when you're out of business, you can't stand behind your work. It ain't fair to them when they got to go find another provider for what you do and all that stuff. And most importantly, we have to, you know, one of our values in the fight, I don't know if you can see it, it's hanging behind me right there, is our values. And our number top one there is our second one down is get oxygen, you know? So we got to feed ourselves first. And I see so many contractors, and I was one of them. I ended up bankrupt at one point, and all this stuff, man, you name it, I've made the mistake. So we're, you got to feed yourself. You got to get oxygen. My business will only be as strong as I am. And so that's kind of the scoop there, man.
Very real, very real. So did, by the time you got it sold, I assume you turned things around and.
Well, I sold it to my partner, you know, and I felt like, I'm a coach at heart, you know, and I just want to have an impact, man. I want to change lives. And I felt I had a choice to make. And I think a lot of people look at this and they go, I talked to one guy, he was like, oh, you totally tapped out in your business. I said, well, I tapped out because to me, the juice wasn't worth the squeeze anymore. You know, meaning, I don't mean the money, I mean the impact, the fulfillment. And, you know, I send morning messages, we call it morning mojo, to our fight team every morning. And yesterday, Sunday, I sent out basically a message that says, what do you want? Like, seriously, how are you living it right now? Or at the very least, can you honestly say Your daily habits are moving you closer to what you really want. Relationships, career, money, health, how you spend your time. What do you really want? Nobody else's opinion matters when you answer that question. Make the commitment now to make whatever changes needed to move in that direction. And if you're not sure where to start, having a hard time identifying what you want, create a what I know I don't want list. With no apologies, no self-judgment, you do you proudly. Life's too short to spend any time pursuing anything you're not fired up about. And so I originally started the business because I needed to make money, like a lot of us, right? And it's not because of my love for painting or anything like that. I was certainly proud of what we were doing and offered a great service, but I had gotten to a point where, you know, the motivation of money wasn't enough to sustain me to keep going. I was looking at my life and I'm like, I mean, there's so much backstory here, man, that I, you know, like I worked in campus ministry for a decade, okay, before I started my company. So obviously you could just see these hints through my whole life of, I want to have an impact. I want to change lives. I want to change marriages and people's healths and financial situations or whatever it is. And so I just got to a point where, you know, my partner and I talked. I said, dude, I'm out. You know, I'm done. Right. And he's like, what are you going to do? And I said, I don't know. And you know, we worked it out and I parted ways. And here we are with the contractor fight a decade later.
You know, one of the things that we teach, and this resonates with me a lot. One of the things that we teach is that, like, all the things you're trying to achieve, all those goals are really, really BS until you have some clarity around what you're doing and the vision of it that gives you real purpose or that you find real purpose in. And so like, there's no point in pursuing something that isn't aligned with your purpose, because you'll never find the level of success in it that you do when you are in alignment with your purpose. It's not even the same, because you got to run through brick walls. I mean, that's just a fact, you know? So I totally align with that. So I want to dig into, like, what you guys, you know, this battle cry that you have about the fight between your ears, you know, unpack that a little bit for me. What do you mean the fight between your ears?
Well, all I've done for the past several years is just told my story and what runs through my brain. And it seems to resonate with hundreds of thousands of people. So I suppose it's pretty common. And that's this, you know, I grew up thinking I was dumb. I grew up in a family that didn't make a lot of money. I didn't think I was smart enough. I didn't, you know, $500 to me was like a crazy amount of money at one point. And I looked at how, you know, I did a lot to hurt my family through the years trying to build this thing. I hurt my health. I got away from my hobbies. I got, you know, I mentioned the bankruptcy and all these things. So the fight between the ears is really just going, understanding, you know, what the top value I have behind me here says, own your crap. Right? So that's how we roll in the fight. Like, if you can't look in the mirror and have some self-awareness between the ears about who you are and how your choices have gotten you to where you are in your life, then we can't help you, right? I can't help you. And so I just got real with myself at one point, and I'm like, every position of that I am in my life, in any area of my life, health, relationships, money, is the result of the choices I made. And our choices, they start with our thoughts. You know, we have an acronym, or I don't know if it's an acronym really, but it's TBAR, T-B-A-R, that we talk about in the fight, that where your thoughts drive your beliefs drive your actions get you your results. So most of us, so for instance, one of the things that we preach unapologetically, and there's an asterisk here for everybody that's listening. I understand there's always exceptions, but just bear with me here.
Yeah, sure.
If something costs you a dollar to build or produce, charge at least two. Okay, you produce it at that, you bring it in on budget, you got what's called a 50% gross profit. So that's kind of a rule in the fight, right? Well, dude, we get so many people that just argue that all the time. Like, there's no way you can do that in my industry. Can't do that in my area. Can't do it because of the illegals or the unlicensed guys, or you don't know my customers or whatever. And so that's what I'm talking about. Those are the thoughts that you're feeding yourself, and then you become to believe those things. And then the action you take is you don't raise your prices, you don't learn how to sell, whatever. And then the results are you got a business that you've been in for 20 years and you have nothing to show for it. Okay. And so, another interesting thing, I'm far from a brain doctor, but I saw a TV show. No, I'm kidding. But I, that, it, but this is proven. I think it was, DePenza, whatever his name is, Joe something. Joe, he's a brain guy. Anyway, he has a book and courses and stuff. We have about 70 to 90,000 thoughts a day. And 80 to 90% of those thoughts every single day are negative or they're autopilot from the day before. Okay. So right now, if I say something to your audience like, hey, if you've been in business more than 2 years, and you're not putting 200 grand in your pocket a year, you should probably hang it up and go work for somebody else. Like, it's pretty polarizing, right? People are like, yeah. Screw you, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I might cut that out and post that somewhere.
But you automatically go to the negative and you start defending all the reasons you can't. And those are the thoughts. Those are intentional thoughts, but we all grow up with this mindset crap that we've dragged around our whole life. And I've just found that, you know, when you really dial into, you know, it's simple as this, what you focus on, good or bad, grows. And so that's kind of a broad stroke of what the fight's about. Like, if we can help you think differently, you know, those thoughts become beliefs. You know, I use the one about raising your prices all the time. If you tell yourself you can't raise your prices, nobody will pay my prices, whatever, you will start to believe it. And then the action will be, I'm not doing it. I'm going to chicken out. I'm going to whatever. And then the results are going to be what you've been getting or worse. But if you flip it, I mean, dude, we have people, you know, I'm thinking of one guy right now. His name is James. He's a GC. And he's like a member coach now in one of our programs. Winter of 2019, I met him at an event that we had in Nashville. He had a $1.3 million business and he paid himself 38 grand a year. He was $400,000 in debt. And I'm sharing this publicly because he's been on our podcast and he tells the story all the time. So I'm not compromising integrity here or anything. When I met him, he had no life in his eyes. You know, shoulders were slumped. He's a big dude. He's like 6'5", 6'6". Mm-hmm. He was overweight, you name it. Marriage was on the rocks. He was a week or so away from losing his home and his business and all this stuff, obviously, for, you know, almost $500,000 in debt. So that was December of 2019. And he's like, screw it, I'm throwing a Hail Mary. I'm going to turn my crap around here. Got more involved with us in January. Dude, by the middle of 2020, by the way, what happened in the early 2020? We have COVID hit the scene and all this other stuff. He had already paid himself 100 grand, paid off 75 grand of his debt. By the end of 2020, he had more than 4x his personal income, paid off more than half the debt, lost 80 pounds, and rekindled his marriage, kept his home, kept his business. Now, here we are a couple years later, totally different dude. Okay, and I could go story after story after story because people decided to plant their flag, approach things a little differently, but it all started with that fight between your ears. That you, if somebody else is doing it, then it's possible. And I just see, I give people a lot of crap if anyone goes and listens to our stuff. Like, contractors are notorious for like spending more time defending their misery than trying to, you know, embrace the idea that it could be different for them. And so that's what I want to call anybody out that's listening to this right now. Like, I don't care if you're a painter, you're a GC, you're a home builder, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Okay, how you show up every day matters. The energy that you bring and the confidence that you have and the way you think, that's all the stuff that moves the needle to success.
You know, we always talk about People don't realize it, but every ceiling and every resistance point that they hit is all based around some limiting belief that they carry around.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that example about the pricing because, you know, that's like, that's kind of polarizing. I know, like, I can just hear it. Like, you don't have to say it. I can hear it. All the reasons why you can't charge $2 for the thing that costs $1. But that limiting belief becomes a hard stop for moving forward. So, you know,
And let me say, is not some la-la, woo-woo, you know, just think good thoughts and good stuff happens. No. But like when you think like, all right, I can't raise my prices, reframe it and flip it. Okay. I don't see how I can raise my prices because of all these things, but I bet if I look into it, I can find a way to do it. Right? Like it's just, you balance it out a little bit. This is those baby steps. And then you go, okay, well, how could I pull this up? Well, maybe I got to get better at marketing and attracting my ideal client and be more consistent with it. Maybe there's some sales training that I need or whatever. Like you could, when you truly put your consciousness on finding a way for something to happen, you're going to attract more of it. Or the other big one right now in the trades, man, you know, this is, oh, nobody wants to work. Everybody's lazy, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Okay. There's no good people.
All right. I acknowledge that it's kind of a shit show with that right now. But like this recent environment has, for the trades, we've been dealing this for a decade or more. Right. So it's nothing new to us, but if you flip it and you go, you know what? I'm in a town of 1.5 million people, city of 500,000, 200,000. I know there's at least two cats that would love to work for my company that are this. We call them FWs, hashtag FW, F and winners. That's what we call them in our world. Like I know there's at least two FWs that would die to come work for my company that are working for somebody else and they're not being respected and blah, blah, blah. They just need to know I exist. Let's go get them. Like, and you will find them. Like, but you got to take the actions, right? It's not just some woo-woo stuff. You actually have to put in the work.
Yeah. And, you know, but if you don't get what's going on in your head right, you won't take any of the actions.
Yeah.
Like, it is not feel good. Like, that's, and I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, like, it's real easy for me to make that connection, but I know, you know, you could hear some of this and you're like, oh, yeah. So we're going to go meditate in the corner and things are going to get better. But that's not the point. It's realizing that you're bringing something to the table that is literally putting a roadblock in front of you that you can't even see.
Yeah.
And, you know, your mindset shapes your reality in so many ways. I mean, you could just take that and we could apply that to any subject, you know. So what, you know, you talk about like fixing that, right? Mm-hmm. And what's like the first step someone takes to like get around or get a hold of like their crap, if you will, or the things they're carrying around or the fight that's going on in their head? Like, where do you get started with that battle?
Well, I think it's a choice that you're just going to plant your flag first and foremost. Like, I don't care. Like the James, the guy I mentioned before, I could story after story. He made a decision like, I'm going all in on me. I'm going to take care of me. You know, I'm going to whatever somebody more successful than me is doing, I'm just going to do it without question. And a lot of us have a hard time with that. Our ego gets in the way and we make all these excuses. We don't want to get humble. And this isn't to say like you don't have something to offer and you're not kicking butt in certain areas of your life or business or whatever it is, but the area that you're miserable in and you want to turn things around, you got to make a choice that I'm going to do whatever it takes. And so for me, I start with a thing. I don't know if you can see it here. It says on my screen, my standard. Every morning, I read this big, long thing out loud to myself. I write affirmations down. I do this, all these things like, you know, I'm a magnet for money and success. I am in this moment. I'm giving away $1 million a year. I'm strong, lean, and dominating my health. It's the affirmations, right? And then I have a thing, I won't pull it out and bore you, but you know, we have a thing called our fight planner where on the left side, it's all about me. It's what am I grateful for? What are those affirmations? What's my focus word of the day? And then the right side of the sheet is all about my business, my career. You know, what's this quarter's main goal? What are the three actions that I'm, there's a non-negotiable, three actions that I'm going to check the boxes on today that are going to get me toward that quarterly goal. And it's just being unapologetically committed to this. You know, my, you know, if you look at like, you know, I'm a big football guy. So like Nick Saban down at Alabama, my coach is the Alabama mental conditioning coach. That's who I work with, a guy named Ben Newman. And Ben is always drilling it into my head that it's the standard over feelings. What is your standard? And your feelings don't care. I talk all the time, like success doesn't care how you feel about things. And I think that's where a lot of people tap out. So the starting point is you got to make a commitment that whatever the thing is, you're going to see it through. It could literally be, I'm going to do 5 push-ups a day for the next 365 days. Okay. When you honor that commitment that you've made, or I'm not going to hit my snooze, I'm going to get up when the alarm goes off, or I'm going to whatever. When that, when you honor the commitments that you make to yourself, your confidence grows. When you dishonor those commitments, your confidence takes a dump. Okay. And then you create a habit in one direction or the other. And so I just tell people, like, stack those small wins, you know, sit down and spend, I like, it takes me maybe 3 to 4 minutes to fill out my little morning thing. And it takes another 3-4 minutes to read, you know, what I was sharing earlier that I have on my phone. I read it out loud. I drill this stuff into my head. That's where I would start. And then honor the commitments I made. Like today, I got 3 things I got to do. I haven't done them yet. I've been in interviews all day. This, I usually try to do them early in the day. But I got 3 things that I got to bang out today before I go to bed that are in addition to all the other things that I have to do. And I just, I think, you know, probably a little more than, you know, you wanted to hear here, but like, stop letting yourself off the hook. And that's a choice. Like, do what needs doing. Get super clear on it. And that to me, that's getting oxygen. So you got to stack those wins, man.
So before we hop off here, I know we're about to run out of time. You talk about making that commitment. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really easy to say things verbally. Like, I'm going to be committed to this. This is important. How do you make that connection so that it sticks, so that you will actually walk the walk and see it through? Like, what's the key in getting that commitment to resonate deep enough that you'll actually stay with it and move through it?
Make sure you're committed to the right things. You know, we have a, there's an old story about Warren Buffett that if you list out 100 things you want to do, he's like, cross everything off but the top 20. And then don't work, and then prioritize them and only give your attention to number 1 until it's done, right? And then go to number 2. And I know that's, this doesn't mean we don't have other duties and responsibilities in our life and our business. It just means I can't accomplish everything right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I'm super picky about what gets my time. And I only, and I'm talking personally with my health, with the business, And it takes a little while to get here, because I know some people listening to this are still wearing a lot of hats in their business, and it's easy for me at this point to go with a team of 15 in the fight and all this other stuff. I pretty much create content and I run some coaching calls here and there and I do my thing. You know, I have so many other people carrying the load that I'm grateful for, but I got here because I was incredibly committed to what I believed was going to move the needle the most. And for me, as an example with the fight, dude, I did a couple hundred podcasts, and before anybody listened, you know, I did a couple hundred, 300 podcasts before we ever made a dime as a company, you know, and, you know, and all the videos I did and this and that, but I just kept showing up. I'm like, success doesn't care how I feel. And, but I knew, to me, it was strategic. It was like, I'm going to be known, and the fight's going to be known as the place that adds the most value to contractors. Our mission is to bring respect and dignity back to the trades. I can do that for free. I could do that with a paid program. Do you know what I'm saying? And so I knew that that was the way to build this business, is if I'm using this as an example, was just give value over and over, regardless of how I feel. And that, and say no to most things, because you can't do everything.
Saying no. I love that. So before we hop off, about out of time, what's your vision for the future of the contractor fight? What are you most excited about moving forward?
I'm most excited about the way that our fighters, and I'm talking, I don't mean this just people in a paid program. I'm talking just the community as a whole that tune in, just the way they're really sharing what's possible with others. You know, they're setting a great example for the contractor community. They're inviting their friends to listen to the podcast or jump in our free group, free Facebook group or whatever it is. I'm just excited to see the momentum that's built, number one, from the community, and number two, just the quality of people that I have on the team. And so it's just a matter of, you know, just chipping away and being consistent and doing all the things that we've talked about here. You know, I read something recently. It was a good reminder. There's a book called The Millionaire Fast Lane. I think his name's MJ DeMarco. And, you know, he talks about really enjoy, and everybody successful talks about this crap, but it's just fresh in my mind, that the, you know, we all want the big event, right? We want to sell the business. We want to cash the big check and this and that, but you got to find that joy in the process. The event never comes without the process. And so that's why I like down at Alabama football, like you hear Saban all the time, focus on the process. It's the process. It's the process. That's what we're talking about here. It's showing up when you don't feel like showing up. It's recording that piece of content. It's having that hard conversation with the client. It's raising your prices. It's dialing in your marketing message. It's having the meeting that you don't feel like having with the team because the weather's bad and it's inconvenient. Whatever it might be, that's the process. So that's what I'm most excited about, is seeing how our team is embracing that, and honestly, just owning my crap here, how I'm embracing that, because I have a really hard time enjoying the moment. Like, I'm always, yeah, I'm major alpha dog, let's go take the next hill type mentality. I'm one of my number one thing I'm working on in 2022 is enjoy the moments, like just enjoy the process. And man, it's a challenge. It is a big challenge for me because I'm just, yeah, I'm all business all the time. And, you know, my mindset coach, another coach of mine, he was over shooting pool a couple of weeks ago. He's like, when's the last time you had fun? And I'm like, I have no idea. I said, I'm having fun right now, you know, but so I'm excited just how I'm growing as I'm learning more about myself, our community, our team. And who knows what's coming? I know there's adversities always around the corner. But again, you know, before this, I had a call with our group where we talked about creating and sustaining momentum. Like, that's why being consistent is so important to me. That way I don't have to get ready. I just stay ready, you know? And so we get a throat punch like the economy gave us in 2008. Those companies that had momentum going into it didn't really affect him a whole lot. And I think it'll be the same time the next time, or the same way the next time.
Well, I really appreciate that authenticity and what you shared. Man, thanks for being on. It was totally awesome. Definitely some great nuggets in there. Time flew by like that. Unfortunately, we didn't get to my list, but we'll have to do it again sometime.
I appreciate you having me. It means a lot. And anything we can do to help you doing what you're doing, let me know, man.
Thank you so much, Tom. Where can people find you? Where can people find The Contractor Fight?
TheContractorFight.com. And everything's there. So.
All right.
Pretty simple.
Well, we'll wrap it up there. I want to respect your time. Thank you again so much. All right, guys, that's been another episode. Don't forget to check us out. Check out the other episodes. We have a great new guest who drop every Monday and Thursday. Well, we'll see you guys next time. All right.